Yes, you will find a homicide at 843 South Pershing, Nancy Fox.
I'm sorry, sir, I can't understand you. Can you give me your address?
843 South Pershing.
That's correct.
Just after 8 o'clock in the morning on December 9th, 1977, emergency dispatchers in Nebraska's Sedgwick County received a call from an unidentified man. The man's voice, which you just heard, described a crime scene at a residential home nearby, telling the dispatcher, "You will find a homicide at 843 South Pershing, Nancy Fox." The dispatcher responded with confusion. "I'm sorry, sir, I can't understand you. What is the address?" Another dispatcher, listening in on the call, answers the question for him. "I believe 843 South Pershing." The mysterious man on the other end offers up a few more words before disappearing. That is correct. The dispatchers didn't know it at the time, but they had just received a phone call from the area's most notorious killer, who had been quiet for the better part of the last year, having faded from the public eye 9 months prior, only to resurface with this phone call, made from a public payphone that was left hanging off of the hook. A police officer was then immediately dispatched to the address given by the caller, 843 South Pershing Street, arriving at the quiet duplex in southeastern Wichita minutes later. This officer made attempts to rouse the resident inside the home, but received no response at the front door. Fearing that something may have happened to the young woman that lived there, the officer then went around the house toward the back door, where he discovered a broken window, along with a cut phone line. Peeking inside the windows, this officer could see what looked like the body of a young woman lying inside, seemingly bound with what looked like a yellow piece of cloth. Officers would enter the home moments later, discovering the young woman's body lying on her bed, still bound, evidently having been strangled to death. Next to her body, they found a blue nightgown, which her killer had masturbated into, presumably after killing her. The home itself was relatively clean and polished, but a few things looked to be out of order. The young woman's phone receiver was on the ground, some jewelry boxes had been dumped out on the bedroom dresser, and the contents of the victim's purse had been dumped out on a coffee table. If robbery hadn't been the main motive, then the killer had been ransacking the woman's belongings in search of something. The victim, Nancy Fox, was a Wichita native that had grown up in a rather normal American family, with her mother and father, along with three brothers and one sister. Now 25 years old, Nancy did not have any children of her own, but loved to dote upon her nephew, regularly showering him with gifts. She worked as the secretary for The Law Company, an architectural firm in Wichita, but had recently taken on a second part-time job at Hellsberg Jewelers in the Wichita Mall to help her buy some extra Christmas presents for her loved ones, primarily her nephew. Nancy lived alone at 843 South Pershing, which was one half of a duplex. The other half had remained empty during the latter half of 1977, following her neighbors moving out. Nancy had lived there for approximately 2 years without any issue, and was known to keep to herself, rarely even having friends or family over. She did not live with a romantic partner, had no children of her own, and did not even have a dog. Sadly, this combination of factors made Nancy the perfect victim for her killer, who took advantage of the young woman's isolation on the evening of December 8th, when Nancy was last seen leaving Hellsberg Jewelers at 9 p.m. Investigators believed that she had been killed immediately after returning home. Nancy's killer had then left her body inside of her home for hours without anyone noticing, only deciding to call emergency dispatchers from a public payphone because he could not stand the wait. More than anything, he wanted his handiwork to be discovered. Police traced the phone call to a payphone near Oregon's Market at 527 East Central Avenue, about 5 miles away from the crime scene. The killer had used the payphone to call in the anonymous tip to the police and then left the phone hanging off of the hook. Less than a minute later, another person, an off-duty firefighter, picked up the phone and was surprised to hear emergency dispatchers waiting on the other end. This man did not get a good look at the previous caller, but described him as a rather average-looking white man who stood about 6 feet tall with light-colored hair, either light brown or blonde. The firefighter believed that the previous caller had been about 30 years old, but he was unsure of that. What the off-duty firefighter did know, however, is that this man was wearing an industrial type of uniform, and then got into a late model van which may have had some type of writing on the side. Possibly advertising, he described. While investigators were sure this was the handiwork of the area's most infamous serial killer, they would not release that information to the public, fearing the kind of adulation he would receive. They already knew that this killer's handiwork was transcending articles on the pages of local newspapers, and was now making it to the evening news, which they were sure was making the killer feel more emboldened to continue his crimes. Privately, investigators knew that a connection was likely. However, in statements made to the press, police officials would deny any link to a killing that had taken place earlier that year, back in March, following a nearly 3-year absence from the mysterious killer that had dubbed himself the BTK Strangler.
This defendant murdered another human being.
You don't know kind. You're evil. You're evil.
Not guilty.
Not guilty.
Not guilty.
Not guilty.
Not guilty.
I hope that this matter can be resolved.
This has been a preview for my podcast Resolved, which is only available through Patreon. To listen to the full episode, click on the link below in the show notes, or head directly to the Unresolved Patreon page at patreon.com/unresolvedpod. You can also find this episode by searching for Unresolved in the Patreon app and subscribing there. Thanks for listening, everyone, and stay tuned for more content from Unresolved Productions in the near future.